Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the bulldog.
How many bees is a swarm? Is two a swarm or three? Whatever. How many does it have to be?
And be like seven.
It's Mike Shope.
How many times do you have to be stung to have been swarmed? And I was like, dude, I got swarmed. I got stung only once, but I was swarmed.
And the bulldog.
You insist you were swarmed.
There were bees, man. Like plural, big, lots of s's, lots of e's and s. Bees. that was not
bees.
Fun.
Bees.
Right. That was not fun.
On WGR.
Hey, man, that kind of hurt.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome. It is, well, I guess we don't have Football Thursday.
Snowing. It's snowing.
It is snowing.
It is snowing. Kind of hard. Just, what is going on? We're in Amherst. What do you mean it's snowing?
I know.
This isn't supposed to happen here.
You know, speaking of that, so the game coming up is so interesting to analyze from, you know, every angle, like lineups, who plays, who doesn't, schemes, techniques, ideas, all, game play calling, everything, like all that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the bigger picture, Bills and Ravens. One of these teams is going out in the second round, and what do they do about it, you know, after the loss? The game has everything. It also has, I don't know, this would vary, of course, from fan to fan, but like a tremendous appeal. It feels like a game you just can't miss. Whether that's going to it, whatever mm-hmm. your version mm-hmm. of this would be, it feels like a game you cannot miss. It's all these years culminating in this game. Not culminating. I mean, if they win, they'll have a bigger one. But, you know, like what's happened over the last 5 years building up to this game on Sunday. And I bet like a lot of people are just, I mean, every fans are always making plans and the tailgate and sort of the spectacle of it. But maybe it's just because in my case or my family's case, my wife's brother, who lives in Orlando, went to UB, is bringing his family up. It was going to happen like early last week, and then he waited on the Denver game.
Okay.
I heard, and then like plane tickets went up $1,000 each or something.
Yeah.
And now he's not coming. And the next day he's like, I have to be there. So he bought the tickets anyway.
The football tickets.
Both.
Both and the plane tickets. Holy moly.
Right.
That's a commitment.
Cannot miss it.
Right.
His kids, who are teenagers, have never seen snow.
All right.
This is when they're going to see snow.
That's going to work.
This is the time their parents decided
Let me check the forecast, make sure it's not warming up between now and Sunday. No, it's definitely not warming up between now
Believe
and Sunday.
Believe me, I thought about that.
The snow that is on the ground will, I think, still be around.
I thought about that because of the snow in the driveway. Like, am I going to have to take care of this? Like, I probably am. It's not going to melt on its own this time.
No, I don't think so.
So, I mean, I think there are probably a lot of people who are making special plans for this game. And it's just another way of looking at it and thinking about it and talking about it that illustrates how much it means.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot on the line. And I think the fan bases definitely feel that. You know, I don't know how much the average Bills fan, there's just like there's levels of listeners to our shows on the station, casual listeners, and there's people like who know, you know, who my favorite band is and know how many Telecasters I have.
Wait,
right?
Let me think.
There's just different levels. But I wonder how much the casual football fan recognizes the race the Bills and the Ravens have been running and just how similar their existences are right now. The quarterbacks both drafted in the same class, both had really big doubts about them as first-round quarterbacks, even though, you know, Jackson was the last pick of the round, but still, can he play quarterback? Can he throw from the pocket? Allen, 56% completion percentage is not going to cut it. Just all the stuff. And they both... really, it did not take long for either of them to, Allen was a little slower than Jackson, but they established themselves within 2 or 3 years of the beginning of their careers as, okay, we're going to be here a while. But yet they've not been able to get past KC. So they're in sort of the same boat. The fans are in the same boat. We're craving this attention and the credibility that comes with the big wins and getting to the Super Bowl and getting the trophy and the MVPs and all the stuff. You know, Jackson's got the hardware already twice for the regular season, but has not had playoff success. The Bills have got 13 seconds. There's just a lot of stuff. You know, maybe for Ravens fans, Zay Flowers fumbling at the 1 yard line last year is some version of 13 seconds. I mean, it's not a colossal end of game screw up, but it's a play that if it had gone the other way, might have drastically changed the outcome. You could have a different winner of that game, a different team in the Super Bowl for the AFC if he doesn't fumble at the 1 yard line last year. So we've all got stuff. And
you know what's, by the way, interesting about that is that the Chiefs fumbled on the 1 yard line here the week before.
Yes, they did. Right, and still got away with it.
If I were a Chiefs fan, I would not hear about Zay Flowers.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But
yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. By the way,
nice purple sweatshirt today.
Oh, I had to get it out of the way before we get too close to the weekend, I guess. I didn't really think
we're
about
not on
that.
Camera today. Ravens, are we sure?
Ravens colors, yeah.
Are we sure?
It's my old pink sweatshirt, so the Ravens can eat it.
There are cameras pointing at me that are lit up. I don't know if that means anything.
So I wonder how much the fan bases recognize that it's the Spider-Man meme. You know, like, do we recognize one another in that way, or do we just want to stomp you? You know, because they're very similar existence, being a Ravens fan right now and a Bills fan, I think. And that I think is a cool little facet of the game. Again, I don't know how many people are really thinking about it, but I love that aspect of it.
Which team's fans, if not the team, I mean, teams are always confident, right? Teams are always like, we're going to win. That's the only way to think. Chan Gailey, remember that?
We're going to win them all.
Oh, I feel like we're going to win every game. That's a great sign for you. You really have your finger on the pulse of this organization, don't you? You're the coach of the Bills in like 2009. You think you're going to win every game? Whoops. But which team's fans do you think be more confident? I went on in Baltimore today and was asked a version of that question. Like, what's the feeling up there? I'm like, it's cautiously optimistic. I mean, I think what's the most reasonable take? The Ravens are excellent. So are the Bills. The line is one. No one knows. And roll the ball out. I mean, it's the kind of game where you could, just like the MVP thing, actually, where you could easily make a reasonable case for either side.
Yeah.
So I picked the Bills on their show. I felt a little bit like I had to, but I did mean it because of what I've said to you this week. I didn't change my mind yesterday.
Can't see them losing this game.
I don't see them beating themselves.
Okay.
That's really what it is. Like, I trust them. They could get manhandled.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not beating yourself, but you're just not good enough, I guess. I think The reason the line is so even is that I think generally expectations are that Baltimore will be able to run and score, even if it is 10 degrees. That doesn't have to even matter if it's not windy. But that they've been a team that can keep other teams around and even lose games like that, like the Raider game, for one, early in the season. And the Bills have really not done that. I mean, they've just not had... How many bad days have the Bills had this year? One? They lost a close game in Houston. They lost a close game in L.A. That's it. I mean, New England doesn't count.
Right.
That's it. It's not like last year where they had a bunch of them.
Right.
So you've got one team that's been really steady. They both have elite quarterbacks. One team's been really steady at home that's proven in the playoffs not to be able to beat the Chiefs, but to almost do anything else. Like they've had many good days in the postseason. And then you have Baltimore, which has a higher ceiling, but I think also a lower floor. And the slightly, at least, greater propensity for mistakes. That's just my opinion, at least. And a lesser amount of evidence in the postseason that they will give you their best, you know, their best punch. So I think, you know, if you can be objective about it, somebody in New Orleans that's interested in this game, what are they saying? Like, which team would you feel better about? I don't know. I like the Bills for that one particular reason, that they have just not been a team this year that has beaten itself. And I think in a game like this, that would mean a lot, as long as it happens, or it doesn't happen, as long as it continues. Right.
As long as they didn't save up all the mistakes for Sunday, because that would be unfortunate if that happened.
But that's one where it's maybe just a little bit of an assumption, but I like the home team that way.
Yeah.
You know, they had the game in Baltimore where they crumbled early in that game. Like there were a couple of wimpy punts in that game too, but just sort of the Allen fumble, and it was a bad night. I just have whether that's just sort of the timing up front or whatever you get from the crowd noise, whatever the crowd noise means to the other team, that makes me feel more assured that a team that has been as clean as the Bills will be so again, playing at home gives me that feeling. And likewise, I think Baltimore would have just, you know, that false start that happens because of the crowd. You know, a little bit of pressure. First and 15 is the pressure's
yep.
on.
Yep.
And the Ravens want to have second and three on every series.
Yep.
And it might be that, you know, instead it's like second and 12 or something.
Yeah. And I'm really interested to see. Like, yeah, everybody's got to play in the conditions, and the Bills have got a bunch of guys from Florida and California and all that, right? But we do have, you know, relatively recent evidence. I mean, it's 3 years ago now, but the conditions Sunday night on paper sound very much like the conditions from the New England wildcard game 3 years ago. And we saw the Bills have a prolific day that day. It was a perfect game. I mean, they never did anything but score touchdowns when they had the ball, unless they were kneeling out a half. So that's pretty recent. It's not everybody, but a lot of the guys here, most importantly, I'd say the quarterback and the coach, have been through that. And Baltimore really has not. So we'll see, you know, what that looks like. You know, if they can just load up and do what they want on the ground with Derrick Henry, maybe it doesn't matter a lot. But if he has trouble getting his footing or something, and it's really cold, and they get out to a good start, like sort of shutting him down early, I just think Baltimore could look really cold all night. It's one piece of this. I mean, I'm more hoping that than predicting it. But to me, the weather it's not nothing.
Are the Bills are the Bills deferring?
Absolutely.
You think?
I yes.
You'd say they should.
I would say they should, and I think they would. I would be pretty surprised if they didn't.
They did have the ball first in the game in Baltimore. And then punted, and then Henry happened on the right. It wasn't the first play of the game. It was the Ravens' first play of the game.
Right.
But I bet there are plenty of people that think the move would be to take the ball.
Let me get a lead right away.
Just like it happened last week, even though that was Denver
yeah.
deferring. But No, wait a minute. That's not what happened last week.
The Bills deferred. Denver took the ball.
What game am I thinking of? Were they the Jet game, maybe, where they just 8 or 9 minutes to a 7-0 lead. It wasn't last week. But, you know, there's an argument for it.
It's you know, I bring up the weather. It's, you know, we took some calls. Yeah, we're talking a lot about, you know, a third linebacker. How much does Taron Johnson play? Like, we're way in here, right? It's the second week of the playoffs, and, like, everything's on the table to the point where I'm thinking about the weather. And I don't, you know, when there's not going to be wind, I usually don't worry about the weather. But I don't know, you know, 8 degrees. Jackson has never played in a game that was below 27 at kickoff. That's a lot of degrees.
So many degrees.
So you know, let's see. You know, I'm gonna want to see you do it. I don't know that you can function in that.
It's an incredible, awesome test for him. I mean, think of if you want to not do this, I don't blame you, but think of what he can shake by winning this game. Can't win in the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? All that stuff. You go to Buffalo in that weather, this weather, and beat an Allen team on the road. Like,
you've done a lot.
It's not the Super Bowl yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, next week he could go to Arrowhead and go 13 for 31 and fumble twice, and nobody will remember or care. But I feel like there's a lot there. I don't know for Allen. Allen's, I mean, I just want to say everything about this because there's so much that's so interesting. Allen's hurdle isn't Sunday night. It's next Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's his hurdle, is to win next week. And maybe that could be – that's maybe true of Jackson, too. I mean, Jackson is – last year they went to the AFC Championship. But, you know, they beat Houston. It almost isn't, like
– yeah.
Doesn't count.
I.
They earned that by being the one.
The fact that the Bills have not gotten past this round in 3 years, I think – sort of sticks there a little bit for me to say, like, that this isn't Allen's hurdle, because the round has been a hurdle for them, for the team. And I know we think that's more about the coach than it is the quarterback, but still, you know, he could have had a better day against Cincinnati than he did. I don't think that's unfair. I don't know that they win the game anyway, if he has a better day, or, you know, or lose it like they did, but still. So, I mean, I agree in a certain way. It's the Chiefs, and it always will be the Chiefs, and they are looming there. But not having been past this round since 2020 that's got to weigh on Allen to some extent. I don't think it's the thing that he doesn't have is the MVP awards that Jackson has that I think magnify his playoff losses, even though they shouldn't be connected. To me, they are. Like, you're all the best player in the league. Oh, what happened? You know, Allen doesn't have that piece, but
I don't know. Whatever weighs on him, I'm not sure what weighs on him, if any of it does. But I think most people think of the Allen Bills as a team that's just been really close and hasn't gotten to the Super Bowl yet. They might not know. I hear people make the mistake that 13 seconds was in the AFC Championship. Like, they might not realize that it's only been the second round the last 3 years, because it's so Bills and Chiefs. And the Ravens are in there too, but I don't – I would think that really for Allen, or just the team, if you'd rather put it in those terms, it's about winning the conference. I think it's about – and I think maybe it is for Baltimore too. For Baltimore, it's not beating Buffalo, right? You know, they've kind of been ahead of Buffalo in the regular season last couple of, well, not in the standings literally this year, but the Ravens get a lot more love than the Bills do as a team, as an organization. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that the Bills are the thing. The Super Bowl, I'm not sure what I'm saying anymore. The Super Bowl is the thing for both teams, like winning the AFC. And you just, it's a tough, a tough thing. They have to... Right. Beat the other, and then probably Kansas City. It'd be nice for the winner of this game to not have to worry about a bad
Chiefs
team.
Pretty great if they could just, whoever wins gets to stay home next week and host Houston. That would be all right.
I'd be all right with that.
Yeah.
CJ is with us. Hi, CJ.
Hey, guys. Hey, there's a lot of talk from a lot of media. There's no talk about the coaches, but there's everything about Lamar and Allen. And we understand what's at stake for Lamar and Allen, except they're not going anywhere. My thing is, there's a lot going on about these two coaches, and Harbaugh has a ring, yes, but so did Tomlin. and hit their fan base is still screaming at him or wondering if they want to keep him or not. My thing is with these two teams both having their quarterback already, and you already know what the capabilities are with them, even like without these coaches, I know everybody's like, well, we want to keep him because, you know, we keep winning every year. But even without Sean McDermott and you have a good offensive coordinator, how many games do you win? I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying I want to get rid of
almost as many, maybe as about as many.
Okay.
Right. You agree?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. About as many. I don't like saying it either because it sort of makes McDermott seem irrelevant. I don't think he's irrelevant, but it's always about the quarterback. Right? All right, CJ might think that we're done talking to CJ, but yeah. Isn't it? Do you agree with that?
I think all of the focus and attention from Bills fans is on the coach in this game. I mean, there's a game out there that could put Allen in the crosshairs, I suppose, right? If he chooses this Sunday to throw it to Marlon Humphrey three times or something, then, you know, he could. But I feel like, I, you know, nationally, I know, sure, the debate shows are Allen and Jackson and Allen and Jackson and the MVP and all this stuff, and, like, that's making the world go round. I think fans here are thinking about McDermott. I think McDermott has more pressure on him than anybody in the game.
Well,
from the fans. Like, I don't think there's pressure from the organization that he's in trouble if it doesn't go well. And I would say the same about John Harbaugh. But I think for the fans, McDermott is the one people want to see. Do the right thing here. Have the right touch with the linebacker versus the nickelback and man coverage versus your soft zone and all the stuff. Like, put it on the floor here. Get your team on the floor and give me concepts and schemes that can handle this Ravens team. It feels like an unfair task. Because I don't expect either of these defenses to shine on Sunday. So, you know, I was talking yesterday with Nate, like, how many possessions? 8 to 10 in a game? I think I'd be, right now, I would sign for 2 punts. You know, if I can get them to punt twice, I think I've done a job. I'm not conceding touchdowns on all the other drives. You know, give me a couple of field goals.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
But I think that's a pretty good job. That's a game probably between 30 and 40 in points, and that's kind of the game I think you're going to get.
The Ravens definitely will punt more than twice.
Okay.
I'll take action on that. They definitely will punt more than twice. You have to know how the game goes, right? I don't think McDermott – are we talking about Bills fans who complain about him every chance they get? Or are we talking about like sort of normies and – on the West Coast or something like this. Like, I don't think McDermott really looks bad here. Why, if there any reason he would look bad for last year, what would it be? It wouldn't be because the Chiefs averaged 9 yards per play, because the Bills had injuries. And, you know, you can say that, but it's Patrick Mahomes, A, and B, you had these disadvantages. So I don't think, like, it wasn't my inclination to blast the Bills' defensive coaching last year for that game. If he gets, I mean, I know people, I've heard it. It's about the fake punt.
Right.
That's why if you wanted to make it about him last year, you'd make it about the fake punt. Why not just run Allen? Why do we have to run DeMar Hamlin? Like, why? So that's where I think this game is similar to that. With what the Ravens have been on offense, even if it is super cold, which it will be, I think there's a reasonable expectation, like is yours, that the Ravens will move the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
So is that going to be his fault? Like, who's stopping them, right? But if they punt on 4th and 2, or they run fakes, or they go for one when they're down whatever the sort of the chart says not to do, then it's that. And I think that would be fair. But let me see this game first before assuming that he's going to hear about it if they give up 30, right? Because
I'm going into the game expecting them to give up 30.
Right.
I think if you're out there expecting them to do a better job than that on defense, I don't think you're being realistic. I really don't. I mean, and that's, you know,
that's me, I guess.
I think it's a big lift. I think for both of these teams, it's a big lift. So I don't know, man. We'll see how I feel by Sunday. But I said this earlier in the week, I think. Even though I wasn't worried about the Bills handling Denver, like I thought the chances of an upset there were really minimal, the idea of it happening was very nerve-wracking. Whereas here, I think, sure, if there's some smoking gun in McDermott's hand for something that happens in this game, then that's different. But if you lose 38-35, I don't know, man. I think objectively, honestly, someone's going to lose. Like, I don't have – I'll be disappointed. I would have a hard time being angry about it, I think, myself. That's just me. I mean, I don't know. I'm the guy on the radio. I'm supposed to be the angriest, maybe. I don't know. But I think being realistic here, this is it's a massively even, competitive-looking game. And whereas last week you were favored by 8.5 or whatever it was, you can't lose that game. This game – I don't want you to lose it, and in a certain way, you eventually got to get past this round, so you got to win it, but I don't know, the opponent tells me, like, I have a hard time just demanding a win. You know, it's football. Something's going to happen. Somebody's going to lose. Some excellent team with an MVP-caliber quarterback is going to go home. A loser. And I just don't think that it's realistic to expect that to happen, that his defense is going to be so good that you're going to be just, wow, I can't believe the Bills only scored 20 and they won the game. I mean, I just do not see that game at all.
You're saying you should be, but really are not inclined to be angry Bills guy, angry sports guy on the radio. You feel like that might be the role you're expected to play, there's angry political guy, there's angry Alice.
Right.
You're not signing up for angry Bills guy.
If they just lose because Lamar and Derrick Henry are too good, I don't know, man. I'm just going to have a hard time shooting flaming arrows at the coach.
Yep, that's what I'm saying, too. 803-0550, Joe Ostrowski, Sal Capaccio, Paul Hamilton, all still to come. Lines open for you. Bills and Ravens Sunday. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
Yeah, they're both dynamic athletes. You know, obviously 22 is big, runs hard, he's super fast. And then, you know, you got Lamar, who's a great athlete as well, makes a lot of guys miss, can run away from guys. So I think that goes back to just the fundamentals of what we want to do. You know, things we've worked on since training camp. I think that's the main emphasis, is getting back to doing what we do and sticking to our fundamentals and, you know, going out there and playing our best ball.
Thanks. Terrell Bernard right there. That thanks was me thanking Zach for telling me a second time who that was. Didn't mean to have turned my mic on before I said thanks.
I told you too. I don't get a thanks.
You did too, yeah. No, well, that's fine. Yeah. I see you working on your pick 10 golf bet over there. It's a little early. The Masters is not until April. You can slow down on that. I mean, don't rush it. You shouldn't have to worry about that yet. I don't even know who's in it.
The Masters?
Yeah.
All the good guys will be in it. I predict.
Scheffler is missing this week because of a cutlery incident, I believe.
He had a puncture wound on his hand while preparing dinner.
You don't believe it?
No.
Really?
No.
Hmm.
No. No. I don't believe it.
Well, what is it then? What is your conspiracy theory on this? Some other
stem of a wine glass falling downstairs or upstairs. Okay. Is my would be my bet.
I mean, allegedly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm not an authority on the matter. It was a big eye roll around the holidays. Like, oh yeah, sure.
You've never cut yourself cooking?
A puncture wound? What am I doing? Like a puncture wound? Like, sure, I've cut my finger. I've cut myself with a knife. Yes, puncture wound. That's a fall. Onto broken glass, I think, is what that usually
Oof.
Is. Myself.
Okay. I've definitely done it. I mean, I don't know about puncture wound.
Well, that's the key.
I read about it on Meta.
That's the key element to my skepticism about the origins
okay.
of the injury.
Okay.
The type of wound. Does nope. not sound like a, you know.
You're not ruling them out for the match.
I'm making sauce wound. I mean, puncture wound. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, no, I think he'll be back by then. Yeah. Yeah, but there's golf today.
I know.
I'm excited. As soon as I get done watching Man United lose, I'm going to flip over to the golf.
I played this morning.
You played golf this morning?
No, but I thought about it.
Oh, okay.
Just go outside in the snow.
Oh.
Chip a couple of balls, you know, just sort of get in the... But then you drop one, you can't find it.
Yeah.
Buried.
I'm so far in, I was watching that the Tiger, Rory, the thing.
How was that?
Yeah, you know,
terrible?
I wouldn't say it's terrible. No, curiosity factor for now is the only reason I'm there. So it hasn't been so good. Like, oh, when's that on again? But you know, the other night, Tuesday night, it was on earlier than I think week one. It was at 9, and this week it was at 7. And so I was like looking for a hockey game. Like, oh, the golf thing is on. All right, we'll watch. I'll watch the golf thing. Wife walks in the room, like. Owen and I are sitting there. We're watching, you know, grown,
simulated
famous
golf.
Men whack golf balls into a giant screen. She's like, "What the hell are you doing?" We're like, "We're watching the fake golf." And I waited to say. She stood there. She sort of looked at the two of us, and I said, "It's for work." And Owen is sitting next to me. So Owen, of course, he's working on the morning show here now, doing like some video editing for when we get the video thing up and running. And he said, "Yeah, me too."
That's funny.
Shut up. Now she's got to deal with the two of
you
us.
Get,
I got to watch this for work.
You get five of those a year. I'm watching this TV sports for work. You get five of those a year. I might have used one yesterday, too, going to the curling. Arnold is with us. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, man.
I have 2 points. I guess the one point, and they're both in the context of the offensive game plan. I know we're talking about the defense a lot, but and Shope, I know you touched upon the subject a lot. The first point is this: I've been trying to reconcile, like everyone has, this idea that, and McDermott says it quite a bit, this idea that we need to establish the run. It's important. It makes it so that you can pass. You need to dominate the line of scrimmage, and that's our offensive philosophy, and therefore the start of the game is against the Denver, and we do that. And it'll eventually open up the pass. And the dichotomy of that we sort of attributed to McDermott, that he's probably never actually said, based on the fact that we do play the nickel defense a lot, that we are willing to give up the run, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that we don't want to give up passes. So there's this dichotomy between both. And I guess I'm just sort of curious what your thoughts are on the Denver game. To me, was a perfect example of which side of the dichotomy occurred. In my side, I watched the first half and went, wow, we dominated this game, and it could have been 10-10. Stop doing this. Score quickly. Run quickly. Throw the ball. Do whatever you have to do to make the score so that we score because we're a better team. Or you could look at it from the defensive dichotomy as to, you know what? We opened up the pass game through that running attack. That structurally, the defense came in and played differently than they did in the first half. So I guess my first part of that question for both of you is, which one do you think that is? And secondly, do you know of any changes that the Denver defense did in the second half that accustomed to the fact that we ran? And if, I know this is maybe getting a lot for one call, but my second point is, and it's in alignment with this, is I don't know about you guys, but when we get to the ball down inside the 10-yard line and it's first and goal from the 9 or the 10, and our first play is a run, I groan. Because in my mind, it's like, wow, a good run is 3 yards, 4 yards at that point. And then I'm like left thinking, is first or second and 6 from the 6-yard line statistically much better than first and 10 from the 10-yard line? Why don't I just throw? Why do I keep on running the ball at the 9-yard line? And it just seems like it happens over and over again, but maybe it's in my own mind.
I don't know if it happens over and over again, but I agree with the premise. And I'd have to be shown how often the Bills do it compared with the rest of the league. But I'm the same way as you. To me, that's a wasted play. To me, running plays are usually wasted plays, but the Bills have made it work.
Except for all the ones you score on, even from the 9-yard line.
Even the whole game last week was they were just so good at it. And it's an easier game if you run the ball successfully, which is why coaches always would prefer to do it. Every coach's perfect game is, you tell them that they can run for 5-6 yards a carry, they're all right, we got it. You know, that's perfect. I've never thought about the caller's point, trying to juxtapose what the offensive philosophy is versus defensive. And I'm a little bit taken aback because I think I'm guilty of making these same assumptions about McDermott and the Bills. We give him credit if you think this way. It's all about the pass, or almost all about the pass. We give him credit for the Bills consistently being at or near the top of the league in pass defense. Oh, it's not a big deal that they don't stop the run as well. Who cares? Like, that's not something that I really care about myself. So, credit to McDermott offensively, and the caller is right to say, you know, allude to at least how often have we heard him admit or say these kinds of things, but Sal will tell you, and has done it many times this year, the Denver game is an example. That's how they want to play. I also think it's intentional. And it does mean that you are keeping teams in the game for longer, teams you're better than. And last year, this kind of, they really even went harder into the run after they fired Dorsey. But that kind of philosophy helped contribute to 6-6 and losses to bad teams. Now, for whatever all that is, now they're not playing bad teams. I mean, Denver wasn't even great. Like, you don't have that problem now. This game would probably be one, certainly what you're expecting, is where you can't afford to be conservative because you will get scored on. That's fourth downs too, but that's run pass, whatever you want. I mean, the sort of the obvious things. But again, how to sort of reconcile offensive, I'm not sure how to do that exactly right now with what the philosophies are. You have, you know, different assistant coaches, play callers, but it's intentional. Of course it is. Like, what the Bills offense looks like from the head coach. And again, like, using Sal for this, because he's been telling you the whole time, this is what McDermott wants. And that really shouldn't be surprising. And I don't know, like, maybe we're past the point. It's been 18 games, right? Maybe we're past the point of having to worry about keeping underdogs close by running the ball too much, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the specific example of last week's game, I mean, yes, it was close at half. The Bills had the ball three times in the first half. They didn't score a touchdown the first time they had it, so they bogged down in the red zone, but their running game helped them get down there, and again, they settled for a field goal. The third time they had the ball, they were backed up at their half-yard line and, you know, marched but ended up punting on their side of the 50 eventually. The other time was a touchdown. So, like, I don't know how inefficient they really were. I mean, they had a drive that started at their one, and they got 40 yards out of it and then kicked it away. It still was a good drive. It took ate up, like, 5 minutes of time, I think. I'm trying to squint and see what my computer screen says. Anyway, so I know what the score was, and I know it could have been 10-10 if that field goal goes through at the end of the first half. But I don't know. I don't see them wasting possessions, is all I'm saying, in the first half of the game. They just didn't have possessions. Like so that's a part of it, too. Like, if you score faster, you're going to get more possessions. And therefore, the game won't be close, as close as it was. But I don't know. I don't think they were inefficient on last week against Denver myself.
What did they do on goal to go? So they kicked a field goal early in the Denver game. I'm just trying to find out real quick because the caller brought up the point about first and goal.
They had a fourth and one at the Denver 14 that they went for.
First and 10 at the 11, Cook for three.
Yep.
And then two incomplete passes and a 26-yard field goal.
Yep.
Well, they made it work. Thanks, Arnold. Interesting stuff. We'll have Joe Ostrowski at 4. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here, WGR. Welcome back, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. What a week. Bills and Ravens, Sunday night, fourth of four divisional round playoff games. We'll have Joe Ostrowski coming up in about 12 minutes. Sal will join us at 5. Just two players limited on the injury report. That'd be Alec Anderson and Ray Davis, listed as limited. The Barnes Firm injury report. The Barnes Firm injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Derrick Henry's over-under rushing yards prop in this game is 95.5.
That's a big number.
It's never bigger than that. Is he really going to just... I couldn't. I couldn't bet the over on 95.5 rushing yards for anybody ever, I think, in a pro game. I just don't think I could do it.
Yeah. It does feel to me... I mean, look, he's excellent. He's been obviously... irrefutably impactful for them. Like, he is a giant 230-pound, 250-pound fly in the running backs don't matter ointment. Like, I get it. But the way that we, maybe it's reflected in this number, like the way we're talking, the way I think a lot of fans sound about stopping him, like he's a running back. He's not RoboCop. Right? He's not a Transformer. He's a running back. All right? Like I said yesterday, I'm going into this game more worried about Lamar Jackson. He's the MVP. He's the quarterback. Passing league. Like, I know it's going to be 8 degrees. And if Derrick Henry runs for 200 yards, you're probably going to lose. Okay? But I don't know. Get back to me when he actually runs for 200 yards against this team. I don't know. He had one run against the Bills. He's been excellent against, you know, everybody else too. But
that was only 199.
Right, I'm just not assuming the Bills can't handle this.
Oh yeah,
like they have, you know, other times. I mean, that one game mars it, and I think just the talk about him and watching him run, you know, for a meaningless touchdown against the Browns, and then put up the game he put up against Pittsburgh. It's like I'm playing some sort of superhero or something. I mean, I don't know. I know he's unique. I know he's a load. I know he's hard to handle. He's a running back.
Well, this is going to sound like I'm taking credit away from him, but if it does, it does. A lot of these highlight runs, the play against the Bills in the beginning of the game in Baltimore, the Steelers, the 28-7, was it, run?
Mm-hmm.
The one like 40 yards. These are like perfectly blocked plays where Derrick Henry is big and fast. A lot of guys do a lot of damage on those plays, if not score. So that is the first level, so to speak, of this, is how will the Bills be able to sort of read what Baltimore wants to do there. Like, the description of the 87-yard touchdown is just, like, Oliver gets sucked in, and boom, boom, boom. Your backup linebackers aren't prepared for, they're not in the spot, and it's over. That's not happening Sunday night.
No, with like, Bernard and Milano on the field and Taron Johnson or Dorian Williams, whatever.
Or Oliver, because it happened already. Like, that's not happening on Sunday night. The Steelers, that's the third time they played, and I don't know if there was give up in the Steelers. At times it looked like it.
Mm-hmm.
This is weird for me, because I always give the Ravens the credits, but I just do not think a Bills defense will be so ill-equipped to handle this Ravens offense as that. And if what's happened the last 2 weeks with Jackson keeping the ball, especially early on a lot of those plays, finding that the better path, go for it. You know, go for it. I just do not expect the Bills to look like they're unprepared, you know, because that's kind of what that play was. We're not prepared physically and tactically. We are not prepared for this. And I just will be shocked if that's what it looks like on Sunday night. I would be shocked. Maybe they can't handle it, but I doubt they're going to be surprised by what they get. Joe Ostrowski next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.